I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
Welcome to Rich Text, a podcast about our cultural obsessions, like heaving bodice rippers set to pop songs by Charlie XCX.
And you don't even know which cultural product we're discussing by saying that. It's multiple. If you're listening today, you're already a paid subscriber to our audio and written newsletter, Rich Text. Thank you, as always, for being here. You quite literally make our work possible.
Today, we're here because we watched Emerald Fennell's Wuthering Heights, and we watched the second half of Bridgerton Season 4, two cultural works that share very little in common, except that they could both be described as smutty fanfic about canonical 19th century novels. And all that that entails, like the Charlie XCX music, that's the overlap of the two Venn diagrams.
Yes, it's just that one Charlie XCX is instrumental only.
Exactly. And that is the Bridgerton one. It has its own way of doing things. Because these two things ended up, you know, we didn't plan the episode this way. We were going to do a Wuthering Heights episode earlier in the week, and then there was a blizzard, and my children were home for 2 days, and our whole plan for the week kind of went up in smoke. And so we ended up combining Bridgerton and Wuthering Heights. But as I was sitting with the notes, I realized that these are almost the same thing.
Yeah, like the tone is so different, mm-hmm. but they are both speaking to a particular cultural wave and cultural obsession. I feel like we have reached a point of peak period smut, kind of.
Yeah, like it's not the beginning of this, but it does feel like now that we have like the true prestige version of it. When Bridgerton started, Bridgerton was almost the prestige version of historical smut. And now we have Wuthering Heights, which is the sort of art house movie spin on wish fulfillment. Kathy and Heathcliff actually bone everywhere. Historical romance smut. Like, we are at this inflection point. How do we feel about this? Like, I feel like this is the culture I was asking for 10 years ago. And now that it's here, I have questions.
Yeah, I agree. I think when it wasn't everywhere, it felt more exciting to me, if that makes sense. Like the beginning of Bridgerton, I was like, ooh, yes, this is an answer to a question that I've had for years. This is like wish fulfillment of like a personal fantasy.
100%. I feel like I've brought this up before. Back at HuffPost, I used to always pitch a piece on like, why is there no like Regency period like art house porn? I was like, all the women reading these bodice rippers, surely they want like the real McCoy, right? And that never got many takers among my editors. They were just like, that's just you wondering why no one's
making.
That's just you wondering why you can't have this right now. That's not a story. I'm like, fair enough.
But now you do but have it.
what I think struggling with is that like, we all do have that desire for the wish fulfillment. When you finish reading the new Harry Potter or whatever, and you're like, God, I wish that like Harry and Draco were just going at it all over Hogwarts. Like, I want to read a story about that and like their dark romance, forbidden love. But wouldn't it be weird if that's actually what the next Harry Potter book was? You know, like there is a bit of that tension there where like the wish fulfillment of seeing those fantasies fulfilled, if it overtakes what those fantasies represent an escape from, then like you're losing out on everything that isn't wish fulfillment and everything about that art is representing that is difficult and pushing back against you just getting off whenever you want, you know?
Although I do maintain that there is a value in just the pure froth and sexiness and like allowing a female audience to have access to that.
Yeah.
And so it's really like this should exist, but should it be the dominant culture? And it's almost like once we are oversaturated in really anything, it loses maybe the spark of what made it feel singular or special or
sexy, you know,
or sexy.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked upon as something shocking. And back then you would see a glimpse of a lady's stocking and you would just probably pass out, you know, with excitement. And it's not like that anymore. And that's progress. But also, it's true. Like, once it's completely saturating the landscape, it doesn't have that thrill, the same level of thrill anymore. And I realize there's a conservative part of me at heart that looks around sometimes and thinks, like, we are rotting our brains, you know, like, we are indulging too much. The indulgence should be part of a balanced ecosystem. Like, both have always existed, but shouldn't we also be pushed a little bit? And you saw a fair amount of discourse of people saying, oh, I tried to read Wuthering Heights and my brain doesn't work anymore. Actually, I don't know how to read a book that is harder than Fourth Wing anymore because I don't make myself. And I feel like that's also a bit true of TV shows and movies. And when you take a movie like Emerald Fennell's movie that looks so beautiful and is so, like, wish fulfillment-y, and then you start to push at the themes, it's like, oh, there's kind of nothing here.
Right. There's not a lot of there. And I will say, I don't feel exactly the same about Wuthering Heights as I do about Bridgerton. And I think that they fill different gaps and are trying to do different things. So I don't want to, like, fully collapse.
There are things that are very interestingly similar about them, but they are also quite distinct. So let's talk about them separately.
So should we start with Bridgerton?
Yes. The back half of the season, season four, dropped on Thursday, February 26th, and was well reviewed. The first half of the season was a bit divisive, but I agree with the critics. I think that the second half of the season largely kind of brought a lot of my concerns about the first half into a much better place.
Yeah, they kind of stuck the landing. The AV Club described this back half of the season as Bridgerton becoming its best self. They wrote that the Netflix hit has finally found a sweet spot between fantasy and reality. They praised Yaren Ha and Luke Thompson's performances over at Variety. The back half of the season was named a critic's pick, and the author wrote, "While Bridgerton season four, part one, felt like a knockoff of Cinderella, the remaining episodes are much stronger, stepping beyond the fairy tale trope to address passion, loss, and what's at risk for high society women who fail to secure a good match in the marriage market." So, yeah, a lot of threads that I think we wondered if that's where they were going end up going somewhere in episodes 5 through 8, which just came out. And I think, you know, our overall reaction was like, we didn't need a month gap in between these two parts.
It was too long. And I think that the season suffered because it was left off at a point where it seemed like so much had been set up, but the storylines hadn't really started to fire on all cylinders yet. And then you're just left to sit with that for a month. I think it was natural for people to start to lose interest. I didn't see much talk about it. Someone in our chat pointed out that, like, they didn't even realize that the second half had dropped because, like, the buzz just isn't there.
I also think it was an interesting choice that they seemed to, at least for critics like us, I'm sure perhaps some critics were given access to screeners of the second part of the season, but, like, recappers like us were not. And I think that also did it a disservice. And if you're trying to build buzz, you might want to give people adequate time to, like, reflect and have something to say about the art that you're producing. And so, yeah, I just think the rollout was botched. I don't think we needed a month. I don't think that these two halves of the season should have lived as distinct, almost mini seasons. Instead, they work together well as one season of 8 episodes.
Yeah. I think week by week would be such a fun schedule to get back to more.
Yes.
Or release them, like, a week apart, like they do with Love is Blind. I think that there are a lot of superior options to cutting the season in half and giving people a month to forget about it. People have short attention spans.
Truly. Yeah. Including us, because, like so many of us, my brain is also completely broken.
I also forgot that it was coming out this week at many points. And then I kept being like, oh, right. And then I will be watching Bridgerton on Thursday. Yes. But the first half of the season was setting up a lot of different plot points, as we mentioned. So what happens with some of these major plot points? Should we just, like, kind of run through?
Yeah, run us through the high